All right, well, thank you for having me as one of the speakers this year. I was here several years ago, and remember a lot of faces and remember a few names from being here. But I'd like to, by means of introducing myself again, look at 2 Timothy chapter 1. And just one verse in 2 Timothy chapter 1 about Timothy that I would like to use by way of introducing myself. 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 5, 2 Timothy 1, 5. When I call to remembrance the genuine faith that is in you, which dwelt first in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded is in you also. And that's the only verse that I'll read from that passage. And the thought that we get there is that Timothy is from a family that had a godly and Christian influence on him, in particular his mother and grandmother. His grandmother's name was Lois, which is interesting because that's my grandmother's name. The first similarity in them. But being raised in a Christian home, I found that there are certain advantages to it. There could also be certain disadvantages to it. Now, you might say, how could there possibly be disadvantages to being raised in a Christian home? Well, it's possible. And though we don't know if Timothy's father was saved, and it looks a little doubtful, nonetheless, his mother and grandmother had no doubt godly influence on him. And what I found in working with people, young people in particular, is that those that are from a solid believing household, they tend to they tend to have good support for Christian things. They have a good team behind them, if you will. They tend to have a certain amount of knowledge of the Word of God, but sometimes they will not be confident or sure of what they themselves believe. Whereas people that I've worked with, some that have been from homes that are not believers, they may not have a lot of support at home, and they may not be as well versed in the scriptures from being taught in their childhood. But if you ask them what they themselves believe, they would know. And the reason that sometimes this does not occur in people that are raised in Christian homes is that they have not been faced with situations where they have to decide. Now, an example for me, for my own life, when I was being raised in a Christian home, on Sunday morning, did I have to decide what I was going to do with regard to going to meet with God's people or not, going to church?
No, that was decided for you.
Decided for me. Amen. Mm-hmm. Decided for me. So, when I was 5, it was decided for me, and when I was 12, it was decided for me. Interestingly enough, when I was 15, it was decided for me. Now, suppose that I really had no personal conviction at 15 about going to church. Who would know? Nobody would know. So I showed up on time, there I am. And what happens a lot of times with our young people that are raised in Christian homes is that they find themselves in situations where they are going with the flow, and they're showing up at the meetings, and they're doing the right things, but they themselves have not developed personal convictions about these things. Whereas some have. And you can't really tell the difference by their actions because they're still at home, they're still following the program of the parents and so on. And it's not until later, when they have their own choices, that you find out that, wait a minute, all this time they were in this Christian home, it may not have been their own conviction. So, this is something that I had to deal with in my own life, as someone raised in a Christian home. So if there is a disadvantage, and believe me, I'm very thankful for the Christian home that I was raised in. Mm-hmm. But if there's a disadvantage, it could be this, that being raised in a Christian home, you are not, in some sense, forced to, or you're not faced with making your own convictions that need to be done. And there were some influences in Timothy's life that the Lord used to help him be who he was, and a lot of these influences were in my life. So, three influences anyway. First influence was the fact that he was raised in a Christian home. At least his mother being a believer, and grandmother. So that was one similarity in the benefits that come from that. But the next was that he had a strong godly influence from somebody outside his home. Now, in the case of Timothy, we all know who this was. This was Paul. Paul had a tremendous impact on his life as somebody coming from outside his home environment. And this has been, in my own life, something very helpful. My dad used a verse one time. I don't know where he got lies. I don't know where he got it. But I don't know how it was that he attacked this verse at the right time, but I was astounded by it. And it was what the Lord Jesus said when he said, a prophet is not without honor except in his own country. In other words, the Lord was saying that when somebody goes far away, if somebody from Maryland makes it all the way to Vancouver, everybody wants to say, we want to hear what he has to say. Now, he may not have anything good to say, but we want to hear it anyway, and then we'll find out and maybe not listen. But when somebody's around their own home, people tend to disregard it. Somebody's coming to give us a message, and he's all the way from 10 kilometers away.
Yeah.
The Lord was saying a prophet is not without honor, except in his own country, in his own place. Now, my dad applied this one time, it was in a conversation with somebody else that I was listening, to the fact that it is so beneficial to have someone outside of the home environment to come and speak the same things that maybe somebody in the leading household is hearing there at home. And, you know, it's not just what mom and dad believe. And this was something that was very influential in Timothy's life as Paul came from the outside and took an interest in him. And there were various brothers that have helped me through the years. My own salvation, by the way, took place when I was about 6. I don't really remember that I was 6. And I didn't think I would want to know that. I never recorded it in my mind. So now I have to go back and think, well, how old was I at that time? And I had some struggles later in my mid-teen years in terms of do I really believe this message or not? There were doubts that came in, but it was all part of growing as a believer. But anyway, so I had the influence from within the family, but then there were believers outside, and a lot of times they came to stay in my parents' home, and that was a tremendous help. To be able to have godly believers in the home, my home, my parents' home, that was taking interest in me. One of them was a man from North Carolina that my dad was close with. His name was John Mills. You call me your old Uncle John, he said. And when he told me that, he wasn't much different from my age now, but anyway, he said, you call me your old Uncle John. How many of you have heard, I actually want to show hands here. How many have heard of a website called Voices for Christ? It's where you can get a lot of messages that are recorded. Okay. So if you have, by the way, it's a believer at the Rockville Bible Fellowship Assembly, my home assembly, that has put that website together. And some of the tapes have been digitized by another brother who's in North Carolina. Anyway. Go to that site. It's a wonderful site, voicesforchrist.org. But on that site, you can find messages by this brother, John Mills, and you find out that he has, you know, a big, long string of them, whereas most other preachers have a little short string of messages. But anyway, but he would come to our home and come often, and I would hear from him the same things that I'm hearing in the home. And Timothy had this influence on his life. This is an influence that I had on my life. And then one of the other influences in Timothy's life that I'd like to talk about in relation to me is 1 Timothy chapter 4. And this is 1 Timothy chapter 4. The verse everybody knows well, 1 Timothy 4 and verse 12. Let no one despise your youth, but be an example to the believers in word, in conduct, in love, in spirit, in faith, in purity. That is that Timothy not only had these influences coming from his parents, or his mother anyway, and grandmother, he not only had this influence coming from the outside in Paul, but he also had this other aspect of Christian growth, which was his involvement in the work. The one good thing about the New Testament assembly is no matter who you are, there's always somebody younger than you that you can be an example to. And this is something that Paul, Timothy in his own life, practiced. That is that he had an involvement in those that were younger, maybe younger by age, or perhaps younger in the faith or less mature, and he would have a work to do with them. And it's one thing to have these great influences. You could sit back on your couch and just enjoy yourself and have wonderful teaching and influences from your parents, and sit back and have wonderful teaching and influences from others outside your family. But that's half the equation of good Christian growth. The other half is involved in the work. And as God would use these various aspects in our lives. So, being involved in the work at the level in which we are capable of is something that's very helpful. It was in the life of Timothy. It was one of the influences in his life. And it was in my own life. And throughout my life, I had little opportunities here and there, although, growing up, I didn't have the capability to do a lot of things. But in terms of young people's activities, I got involved in the work in some degree that way. And for those of you who don't know, I didn't get married until 4.5 years ago. And that was since the last time I've been here. So last time I was here, you saw me as a single man. I had a young fellow named Jaywin with me. Since then, I've gotten married and have two little girls now. One is 8 and 1, and one is going to turn 3 soon. So things have changed, but I was a single man for a long time.
And that's mainly because you were an mathematician.
And mathematician had a lot to do with that. Yes. Man of insight. But being single for a long time had a couple of effects. One of them is it kept my peer group to be the young people for longer than it would be for some other people. It seems like socially, getting married advances you about 10 years. Socially. Mm-hmm. Your social circles change when you get married. And if you're not married like I was for a long time and you go through life, your social circle tends to remain with the other single people for a longer period of time. So even though I was older than a lot of the young people, they still kind of took me in as one of their own and treated me as, one of the young people. So, as such, I was able to have, for a while, a special kind of exercise and activity with the young people at camps and within the assembly. For the last, I think it's been about 12 years, I've been involved in a campus Bible study at the University of Maryland. And it has never been a giant study, like some of these named groups that you hear about on campus. It's never been one of the big powerhouses. But we've had ups and downs in terms of our attendance. I think our high water mark was about 18, which was really neat. Right now we're at one of our low times. And actually we're praying about whether that will continue on after this year. But after the the last dozen years have been involved in that. And in work at a camp called Greenwood Hills. It's also a conference center, so some of you may have heard about it, even though it's all the way on the East Coast in Pennsylvania. The Lord has been exercised there. There's a little Christian education center similar to a camp. I guess nobody here has heard of it, but it's called Aletheia Springs, and it's down in Virginia. And the Lord has seemed to have me involved in that some as well. So, as far as my name goes, Shikarji, I'll get these to clear off the air a little bit so I don't have to answer it many times. The name Shikarji is a Turkish name. It comes from Shikar. Now, Shikar in Turkish is the same as it is in many other languages, that is, sugar.
Mm-hmm.
No matter what language you think of, if you ask them what sugar is, it's going to be something along those lines. Zukar, Stukar, Shukar, Shakar, that's my name. So Shikarji is the one who's worked with sugar, a candy maker. And my great-grandfather lived in Turkey. He was not Turkish, and I'm not Turkish, but he lived in Turkey. And he was a candy maker, and as such, he got the name Shikarji. They called him that, and the name became official somewhere along the line. My grandfather was a shoemaker, but that name did not become official. But my grandmother was Armenian, and I'm a quarter Armenian. I'm a quarter Armenian, I'm a quarter I don't know what, something Middle Eastern, and then I'm half, the only thing I can call it is American, because on my mother's side, she's from North Carolina. Her parents were from North Carolina. Their parents were from North Carolina. So we know they had to have gotten to North Carolina somehow, but as far as we can go back, they're all from North Carolina. So, as many of you heard by a secular profession, I'm a mathematician and I work for the U.S. government in a scientific facility. It's nothing political happened today, and nothing, it turns out it's not military related, so I'm not saying I have anything against those that serve that way. It's just the place that I am in, it's not, it's just the Institute of Standards and Technology. So I'm a math nerd, and happily I did manage to get married and have two kids. So thank you so much for your invitation and your prayers. And please do not stop between now and the end of the conference. Your prayers are